Well, today I'm going to finish up this series of messages we've been doing on the Sermon on the Mount. Today we're going to look at Matthew chapter 7, kind of go through that entire chapter today and pick through a few points that might be helpful to us all. You know, somebody one time summed up Christianity, like thinking about how you step into certain parts of Christianity as look up, look in, and look out. The idea is, you know, there are certain things we do toward the Lord, like we pray, we worship, you know, those kind of things. We look to the Lord. Some things we do, we look out. You know, how do I reach out to my neighbor? How do I love my neighbor? Maybe it's sharing the gospel. So it's looking out. Then there's another part that's looking in. And that is, Lord, what is it you're trying to do within me? How are you trying to change me? How do I need to grow? And so today I'm going to be looking at this looking within. A lot of what happens in Matthew 7 is the Lord talking to us about our own walk and how we approach the kingdom of God. So it's the looking within. All right, Matthew 7, verse 1. Judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that's in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when there's a log in your own? So let's stop for a minute. You know, one of the most famous things people say is, don't judge me. This scripture doesn't really teach that. What it's teaching is to use righteous judgment. You know, the parallel verse of this is in John 7:24. He says, do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment. We all make judgments every day. You know, if you see some kid walking down the street with a machine gun, you tell your kids, hey, come in the house. You know what I mean? Don't play with him today. That kind of thing. So you're making judgments. You're always making judgments about life. So what the Bible is teaching here is not that we shouldn't make judgment, but we should make righteous judgment. And so he says, judge not so that you're not judged. The problem we have is that we judge unrighteously. And Jesus is saying, if you judge in this manner, it's going to come back to you the same way. And I think in a way you could kind of sum this part of the verse up as mind your own business. You know, judge yourself first. I think if we were to judge ourselves first, then our judgment toward other people would tend more toward being righteous. It's easy. He's basically saying here, it's easier to see a speck in someone else's eye and miss out on the log that's in your own. And brothers and sisters, we walk around with logs in our eyes. And we're out there trying to straighten everybody else out, because we see a little speck. And Jesus is saying, hey, take a look at the beam first here. And so he says, Jesus' answer is, you hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye. I'm popping a little bit here, Jeff, on this. First take the log out of your eye, then you will see clearly. See, that's the point. Don't go around judging people with their specs when you have a log. First, deal with the log, then you can see clearly to help remove the speck. And see, when we talk about this idea of seeing clearly to remove the speck, you're looking to actually help people. And sometimes when we have a judgmental heart or a judgmental spirit, it's really to put people down. Oh, look at that person over there. They're such and such. Or they did such and such. Or they said such and such. See, that's not in any way designed to help anybody. That's judging unrighteously. And we who stand there making those kind of judgments are often guilty of far greater things. So Jesus says, hey, turn it within. Look at yourself first. Look at this beam in your own eye. Then when you deal with that, you can see clearly to help your brother. And then he says, do not give dogs what is holy, Do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. In a way, what he's saying here is when you point the speck out in your brother's eye without dealing with your own log, it's like throwing pearls before the swine. You know, you can find yourself in huge conflict with people if all you do is point the speck out. And you're taking something that God has meant for good, pearls, something valuable that would be to help that person, to actually help them, to give them something from God's word or something from the Lord that would help them to see clearly. It's like throwing that aside like pearl before a swine. And so God is saying to us, deal first with the log in your own eye. Then you have something very valuable to come and bring to a person that has a speck. So can I ask you today, before we go on, think about your own heart. Do you find that you're more of a judgmental person, looking to point out the flaws in other people? Or are you more introspective and saying, hey, Lord, I want to grow in you. I want to be different. I want you to show me. You know, David one time prayed, Lord, search my heart, try me, see if there is any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. In other words, Lord, is there a log in my eye? And the thing about that log in your eye, it's normally a blind spot. You don't see it. Everybody else sees it, but you don't. So look within first. And then you're able to judge righteously. It's hard for me to judge somebody when I know I'm walking in the same thing. You know, if I'm sitting over here telling my friend this person's a gossip, guess what? That kind of thing. Ask and it will be given to you, he says. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. So there's this idea of pursuing something here, right? Ask, it'll be given. Seek, you'll find. Knock, it'll be open. For everyone who asks, receives. The one who seeks, finds. The one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Which of you would do that? If your son came and said, hey, Dad, give me a piece of bread, you say, hey, here's a rock. None of us would ever do that. And so the Lord is saying, I'm like a father. And if you come and you ask and you seek and you knock, I'm going to give you good things. If he asks for a fish, will the father give him a serpent? You know, it's like, Dad, I'm hungry. Can I have some fish? Here's a snake, son. You know, who would ever do that? And then he says, if you then are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. So it's hard for me to separate this portion of Scripture from what we just talked about, because he kind of ties it all together in verse 12. Whatever you wish others would do to you, do to them. See, treat other people the way you want to be treated. I want people, if they come and point out a speck in my eye, I want them to do it with righteous judgment. I want them to treat me the way I would treat others. I want people to treat me a certain way, and so it moves me to treat them in the same way. And I think what he's really pointing to here, at least a portion of what this scripture is talking about, is maybe we need the Lord's help in this. Lord, I'm asking you to help me have the right heart. I'm seeking to have a right spirit. I want to pursue this. The parallel verse of this in Luke 11, I think I have the notes for that, is if you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask him? And I think one of the reasons we've been given the Holy Spirit is to help us walk in the ways of Jesus. Yes, he's given us power to be a witness and all these other things the Holy Spirit gives to us as we walk in the Lord. But one of the things I think he helps us do is to walk in the ways of Jesus. And so as I seek and I ask and I knock, God gives me something that will help me judge righteous judgment. I believe that's part of what he's trying to say here, because he sums the whole thing up by this: whatever you wish others would do to you, do to them. So when we think about looking within, part of it is, yeah, Lord, help me see the beam in my eye. But another part of it is, give me what I need to be this kind of person. I'm asking, I'm seeking, I'm knocking. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me the heart that I need to treat others the way I want to be treated. And let that work inside of me. So it's looking within. The next section is verse 13. He says, enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter it are many. The gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Well, listen to this. I wrote on my notes, it's easy to not follow Jesus. You know that? It's easy to not follow Jesus. Many people follow that road. It's called a wide road or broad way. And many, many people find that path. But it's difficult to follow Jesus. Is that what you read here? The gate is narrow, the way is hard that leads to life. And that's another reason we need to be asking and seeking and knocking is, Lord, help me find this narrow road. There's lots of people who are on the broad way. It's easy. It leads to destruction. My guess is when you go out in the streets and you meet people at your job or whatever, and you look at them, you're going to find a majority of them are on that wide road that leads to destruction. And it's an easy path. All you got to do is just kind of live life. It's an easy way. But to say, you know what, I want to be different. I want to find that narrow road. I'm going to look at where I'm at. Am I on this road to destruction? Is it in the easy path that I'm taking? Or am I willing to kind of go against the flow and say, I want to be different. I want to follow Jesus. I want to take a path that may be a little more difficult, but it's the way that leads to life. Look within. Which road are you following? Don't follow the crowd. And I'd like to say that to even younger people. You know, don't just follow the crowd. Be willing to stand alone. Be willing to be different. Be willing to say yes to Jesus and not to just follow the crowd. Look within. The next, verse 15, he says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? And the answer there is no. So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits. So Jesus, now he's telling them, hey, listen, as you go forward in life, be careful of what you listen to. Beware of false prophets. They will come to you in sheep's clothing. You know, what that looks like is you have a wolf with a dead sheepskin kind of hanging over them, and they look like a sheep, but they don't talk like a sheep. Their fruit is not the kind that you want to see. And so I have on my notes here, pay attention to where you receive your teaching. There's so much access in the world today to teaching that's out there. And there's so much of it that's good. There's also some that's not so good. And the one criteria that Jesus lays out here, what is it? What do you see there? The one criteria to know is what? Can anybody tell from the verse? What is it? It's the fruit of their life. And listen, that's one of the reasons why it's so important to be part of a local church. You don't be an internet church. We have this new thing today called the internet church. You don't know the fruit of anyone's life on the internet. You know the fruit of a life by seeing them, being around them, interacting with them. Now, does that mean you should never look at the internet and learn something? No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying be careful, be wise, and listen. But you can never know someone's fruit without spending some time with them, you know. It's just, it's such a strange thing that when Adam and Eve were tempted by Satan, what did he tempt them with? He tempted them with this idea that God is hiding something from you. There's this knowledge to be known that God is hiding. He said, if you will eat from this tree, you will be wise. You will know good from evil. You will be like God. So God is keeping something from you. And I find that it's uncanny how often I find that people who know the Lord are searching for something somewhere else. It's like, it can't be just in the Bible. Maybe it's something over here. Maybe it's something over there. And we're searching and searching and searching almost endlessly when God has given us answers in his word. And we'll look somewhere else for it. So in all this teaching that Jesus is giving about the kingdom, he's just saying, be careful where you receive your teaching from. Watch out for false prophets. They come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruit. Verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who's in heaven. So what's this talking about? Well, it's easy to believe the right things. I'll believe Jesus is Lord, and I say, Lord, Lord. But that's not a substitute for what? Obedience, right? One who does the will of my Father. What's Jesus looking for? Is he looking for someone who just says, Lord, Lord? Or is he looking for someone who says, I came to do the will of my Father? That's what he says the person will enter the kingdom of heaven. Not just saying, Lord, Lord, but living, Lord, Lord, doing the will of the Father. See, it's looking within. Look within now and say, what's my relationship with Jesus? Is it just saying, Lord, Lord, or is it I'm surrendered to Lord, Lord? I want the Lord's will to be in my life. So Jesus is drawing a line in the sand here. I think on the day that we stand before the Lord, there will be many surprised people. Just like he gives an example here. On that day, many will say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? See, these are people who weren't just saying, Lord, Lord, but they were actually doing works of God. Casting out demons, mighty works, you know, prophesying, all those which we would say are good things. But what did Jesus say to these people? He said, I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. How can this be? Well, I guess what I would say is it's possible to believe the right things, like Jesus is Lord, and it's possible to do right things, like prophesy and pray and all that, and not really know him. See, those things don't determine whether I know him or whether I'm surrendered to his will. And that's what Jesus is after. I think so often our focus as Christians is trying to know the right things and trying to do Christian things, but we forget the most important thing. Jesus said, this is eternal life, that you know me, that you know me and my Father who sent me. This is eternal life. It's that intimacy with Jesus. I want to know you, Lord. I want to do your will. That's what it takes. There's a scripture in 1 Corinthians 8, verse 3 that says, if anyone loves God, he is known by God. See, I like this idea of being known by God. I could say, I know God. I say, Lord, Lord. I do these things for him. But Jesus said, I never knew you. I want to know that God knows me. Don't you want that? That he says, hey, Robin, I know you. I like that. And I want that for all of us. That God can look at us and say, I know you. I know you. If anyone loves God, he's known by God. I want to be known by God. And that's not about, that right there is not about right beliefs or right actions. That's about relationship. The right beliefs and the right actions flow from that. But it's being known by him, knowing him and being known by him. I tell you, I read this scripture here. I hope it puts the fear of God in your heart. Let me read it one more time. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father. That's why when we share the gospel with people, we say, when you turn to Jesus, you need to make him the Lord. It's not just saying, Lord, Lord. It is saying, Jesus is my Lord, and I want to surrender now to his will. And on that day, many will say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy or cast out demons and do mighty, mighty works? And he says, I never knew you. I really don't know you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. So it's going to be a day that I think it will freak a lot of people out. But I pray that before that day comes, every one of us could say, Lord, I want to know you. I want to love you. I want my relationship to you to be the most important thing in my life. And then finally, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them. So Jesus taught a lot of things in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And he kind of sums it all up here. Everyone who hears these words and does them is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. So how do you get your house on a rock? There's two things. Can you see them? You hear them and you do them. See, that's the obedience. That's the will of the Father, doing the will of the Father. That's how you get your feet on the rock. Lots of people hear about it, but then another subset of those are those who will actually do it. I hear what you say, Lord, but I want to do what you say. And when you do that, you're digging deep. You're putting your feet on a solid foundation. It says, the rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew, and it beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on a rock. See, when you serve Jesus, it doesn't mean that you never have problems. Winds still come, rain still flow, the flood still rises. The difference is that you stand. You're not shaken by these things that happen in this world, because it's founded on a rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them is like a foolish man. He built his house on sand. It says the rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority, and not as their scribes. Man, Jesus said a lot to us in this portion, didn't he? He said, take the log out of your own eye. Judge righteous judgment. You know, don't be picking out the speck in everybody's eye. So would you stand with me and think about this first? We're going to pray together, but I'd like you to think about, am I a judgmental person? Or am I learning to look first within? First, dealing with the beam in my own eye, and then seeing clearly to help my brothers.